Welcome to Better Today, Healthier Tomorrow, an Arkansas Children's podcast. I'm John David Pittman. Today, we're going to visit with Arkansas Children's Vice President of Community Engagement, Advocacy, and Health, Marisha DiCarlo. But before we get into that, I need you to do me a favor. Whatever platform you're listening or watching on today, go ahead and subscribe. It helps us broaden our audience, and it makes sure that you'll be the first to know whenever we release new content about pediatric healthcare in the state of Arkansas and beyond. Marisha, welcome to the pod.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
Yeah, we're excited that you're here. Let's hear just a little bit about you. Are you a native Arkansan?
I'm actually not a native Arkansan, but I love Arkansas.
Okay.
I came to Arkansas pretty suddenly back during Hurricane Katrina.
Yeah.
And Arkansas was a quick and welcoming home for me.
Yes.
Once I got my feet on the ground, so to speak, my husband and I decided we were going to stay in Arkansas, and I've made it a point during my career to try to give back because Arkansans were so kind and welcoming to me when I needed help. So I'm happy to be giving back in any way that I can.
That's awesome. That's great to hear. And how long have you been with the organization?
I have been with Arkansas Children's almost 7 years.
Okay.
So I actually started right before COVID-19.
Oh,
so
boy.
Yeah, it's been a exciting journey.
Sure it has. Let's get right in, okay?
Yeah.
As the VP of Community Engagement, Advocacy, and Health, I imagine you have a lot of people and projects under that umbrella.
Yes.
Yeah. Can you try to maybe simplify that for us into three or four buckets of what your department has going on?
Sure. So I would say that Arkansas Children's is really interested in children's health, whether children are ever patients of ours or not. And so I think about the work of our division as both bringing resources in for our patients and families, but also pushing resources out into communities to help make children healthier, again, whether they're ever patients of ours or not. And so we know that 80% of what affects a person's health actually happens outside the walls of a hospital or a clinic or a medical provider. And so a lot of my team's work has to do with things like injury prevention, better health for kids through those things that help make a good foundation for them. So we spend some time every year, but on a 3-year cycle, really talking to community, really looking at the data, understanding what is it that affects children's health. And then our programs are built in community around addressing those health needs that are identified. For the things that we address inside the hospital and clinic walls, those things that help support our patients and their families, it is all about making connections with community to bring those right resources in. So it can be things like food for families that are experiencing food insecurity.
Okay.
It might be items that help keep their home safe or their children safe in cars, like car seats.
Yeah.
And we do that work through important partnerships with community organizations and community members that care about children's health just like we do.
That's great. You mentioned the car seats. I see the car seats all the time. Outside of our office is one of the places where you guys bring families in and help with those car seats. Can you talk a little bit more about that car seat program?
Yeah, absolutely. So we actually have two different programs. We have one in community that is a partnership with the Highway Safety Office. So my team helps train people to be child passenger safety specialists all over the state.
Okay.
And those child passenger safety specialists can help educate families about the right way to install a car seat and even sometimes provide the car seat if a family does not have a car seat, perhaps they're not able to afford a car seat, or maybe they've been in an accident and they need a new one because the one that they had is not safe anymore. And so sometimes you may see people at Children's in some of our community sites getting those car seats checked, installed, getting the families educated about that. We also have an in-hospital program. And so that program is really making sure that when people leave our care, that they're leaving in the safest way possible. And so that might mean that a baby who's discharged from the NICU needs a special car seat because they are smaller and don't have the same neck support to hold their heads up. that very well. And so we're making sure that they have the right car seat for them. It may be adaptive car seats for our children who have behavioral health challenges that help them stay safe in the vehicle and help those around them be safe as well. So both programs, I think, are very important to the state. And we know that motor vehicle accidents still are a leading cause of injury and death for children in the state. So the more that we can do in community to make sure that children are traveling safely, the better off our kids are.
That's great. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to know, and you might not, but do you happen to know off the top of your head how many car seats we go through a month?
Because
I see them stacked up out here all the time.
Lots.
Yeah.
Probably could look that up for you. We have hundreds of car seats, if not thousands, that go out at, definitely through all of our sites of service.
Yeah. So I know you were talking about the things that happen, within the walls of the hospital and the clinics. Mm-hmm. I think for most people in the state, when they think about Arkansas Children's, they think about those physical hospitals and those clinics and probably even our research. But your team is taking that work out into the community.
Yes.
And I know that one of your largest projects is the Community Needs Health Assessment, which provides kind of a big picture of children's health in Arkansas. Can you talk to us a little bit about how that's developed, why it's important, and who uses it?
Yeah, absolutely. So the Community Health Needs Assessment is something that is actually required of nonprofit hospitals. And Arkansas Children's was doing the work before it was a federal requirement. And so I mention that because I'm really proud of the work that has happened with the CHNA, that we have recognized that it is something that's important for us to better address the health of children, for us to understand really what's affecting them before we were ever required to do that. And so we have just produced our 2025 CHNA. It's available online. It is supposed to be a document that anyone can use to understand what's affecting the health of kids. And so if you go to archildrens.org/CHNA, it's available. Both the CHNA for Arkansas Children's Hospital, which looks at the health of children in all 75 of our counties, and then also the CHNA that is for Arkansas Children's Northwest, that really looks at the 15-county service area that ACNW is serving. When we gather data for that assessment, we really are talking to a lot of our partners that are collecting large data sets. So that might be the Department of Health or the Department of Human Services, our Department of Education, because we want to understand at a population level what's affecting children's health. We also survey, host focus groups, talk to people that are either interested in children's health, working in children's health, they have a child, so parents, guardians, caregivers. Then we also talk to youth because we want to understand from them, what do you think the most important issues are that are affecting children, you and your peers? And I think that for me personally is kind of the most interesting part, is to hear back what we think is important as adults, but then to hear from the kids and kind of what's important to them. So we go through a robust process with community partners once we get all of that information back to really understand what are the most important things that Arkansas Children's with our partners will be focused on in community. And so this last CHNA, it's behavioral and mental health, it's nutrition security, maternal and infant health, and then what we're calling well child, which is kind of a blend of access to care and making sure kids are getting important preventive care services. While we highlight those priorities, we include in the document everything that we have heard about. And so one thing that I thought was really interesting this time is that our young people really are concerned about substance abuse and misuse, not only among their peers, but also among the adults that care for them. And so that is something that had we not listened to youth and included youth voice and that piece of community listening, we might have missed it.
Yeah.
Because adults don't think that they have a problem, or at least they're not reporting that to us.
Right.
In that way through that survey. But our young people are saying it matters, that they can see that that's an issue. our programming that's developed in community really looks at what are those priorities and how can we leverage what our partners are doing really well to help support addressing those things for kids. So I mentioned nutrition insecurity.
Yep.
That's one where we know that good, healthy food is a foundation for good health for kids. It affects so many things around growth and development. It affects whether or not kids can focus in school and concentrate and learn. It affects good teeth, right? All just so many different things about a child's development. And so for us, knowing that that's a huge issue in the state, that 1 in 4 children are nutrition insecure, that they may not know where their next good meal is coming from, that is important to us. So we work with partners in food banks around the state, in food pantries, to make sure that we are helping to support emergency food, connections to supportive services, and things that help kind of create that foundation of good health for kids by getting them connected with good nutritious meals.
Yeah.
Summer feeding is a big thing that that we work around. And then I mentioned earlier, not only are we pushing resources out to community, we're bringing them in as well. So in many of our clinic sites and our hospitals, we have programs to help connect our patients and families to food resources as well.
Yeah.
So in our Family Resource Center at Arkansas Children's Hospital, not only can families come in to get a safety assessment or a car seat or to access medical records or get support with their financial, you know, situation or billing, they also can receive emergency food bags, get connected back to our USDA SAC lunch program, you know, receive nutrition information. So that's another space where they can access those things because we want kids to be healthy.
Yeah. I got a chance to stop by the brand new Family Resource Center the other day and it's gorgeous.
Thank you.
It is. So the old one was great.
Yeah.
This space is such an upgrade and it was busy and there were families in there and the people were coming and going. So, I mean, what a great resource to have.
We are so thrilled to have it. It's a wonderful space. I love that it is near the front of our hospital.
Yes.
So that when people come in, whether they're there for a patient visit or they're there visiting from community, they can access that space, all of the resources that we have there. We had 1,000 people this week come through the Family Resource Center. So it is a busy space, but I would say to any partner organizations that are listening out there, it's a great space to come into to help provide services.
Absolutely.
We have Medical Legal Partnership that has clinics in that space. Yeah. We're doing research study enrollment. Like lots of different things can happen there to bring community together.
And just for clarification, that resource center is here in Little Rock on the Golisano campus of Arkansas Children's Hospital. I find it fascinating listening to you talk about that document that you produce and take so much care to do, the youth voice portion of it. As a parent of a teenager, I think that is really so important to that we're listening to those kids and giving that feedback too.
Yeah.
Do you see a lot of discrepancy between the adult feedback and the youth feedback on certain things, or is it just different things that they're saying and some overlap? And
I think that there is a lot that they have in common in terms of their perspective. So one thing, like I'll just stick with nutrition insecurity for a moment. Like we definitely know from the population health data that's an issue for our young people. We hear from parents and others that either are working with children or, you know, have a role in children's health that they know that that's an issue. And then when we hear from our young people, they're worried about it.
Right.
They're worried about their peers not having enough to eat or getting nutritious food. They're worried about their family situation, not necessarily being one where good food is available to them. They're worried about their parents. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, I think that's a lens that we hear from the youth that is a little bit different than what we would hear from a parent. Like a parent is really interested in what's important for their kids. And I think there's this assumption that when we talk to kids, they're just going to be interested in what's important to them too, but they're looking all around them in community and they care about their peers. They care about their family. They care about what's affecting their parents that then has an impact on them.
Right.
And so I think that when we think about programs that help support a whole family, that help provide care and support for the caregiver, that is critically important because it has a ripple effect on children. And when I say it out loud, it sort of seems like, oh, duh, you know, like obviously. Right. But I don't know that we always go in with that lens about thinking about the whole family. And certainly, I think that's something Arkansas Children's does really well, is really think about, like, how can we better support the whole family? Mm-hmm. So when we give funding, for instance, to community for summer feeding, we don't have as many restrictions on those things as perhaps some other funders do, because we understand, you know, I heard a story about a child who walked back after an aftercare program to see if there was any leftover food because her mom was wheelchair bound and she was worried about her mom eating. You know, and there are some programs will say, well, no, you know, it's not the adult that we're feeding, it's the child. Yeah. And the truth is, like, we recognize there's a whole family unit and that family looks a lot of different ways, right? But how can that child eat well if they're worried about their parent? So I think with all of our different programs and these different health issues, there's also an interrelatedness, and our youth are really good about pointing that out to us. So we hear that they're worried about their peers using substances, but their peers and maybe their peers' parents have some mental health challenges or experiencing depression.
That was going to be my next question.
So there's interconnectedness around those issues.
Yeah. I hear you saying a lot about, you know, from the youth voice, a lot of worry and even empathy towards their peers and stuff. I was going to ask, how much are we seeing, you know, mental health issues show up in these surveys and these data sets, and how does that inform the work that, that you all are doing?
It informs it quite a bit. I would say that it's showing up in a lot of different ways. I think that some work that we are doing around a pilot program that we have going on with the Springdale School District, it's called Mind Matters, and it's really helping to teach young people resilience and mindfulness. These are research-based strategies, right? Like, pause before responding. Stop and think about what's a thought and what's a feeling. Really, like, helping people work through that. Those are things that in this age of instant responses and maybe like in sort of a feeling of anonymity, even though you're not anonymous, this sort of online culture that has emerged in the last few years among young people, those are skills that are not always taught. And so being able to teach that really helps young people be able to process their thoughts versus their feelings, and then what their responses look like to help build resilience.
Fantastic.
And so that's the sort of thing where it's like very important for us to hear what they think and what they believe is affecting them and what makes them nervous. I read The Anxious Generation. That was pretty popular last year, the year before. And I know a lot of other adults who were working in pediatrics read that book. And I would pause the book and say to my son, who is a teenager, like, oh my gosh, listen to what I just read. What do you think about that? And finally, he was like, listen, Mom, I am not the anxious generation. You are. Like, you and all of your friends are so nervous about us. Like, we're getting all of that. And so, like, if I'm anxious, it's because you started this. Like, you're anxious about us. So let's just have conversation.
Right.
I was like, oh, okay.
And again, that's like, another amazing example of listening to the youth voice and finding out what they have to say and what's going on with them. Well, I can tell you're super passionate about all this work. And it's amazing stuff. Could you tell me a couple of specific programs or initiatives that maybe that you've helped start here or maybe even some, you know, that you see innovating in the future that you're particularly proud of or excited about?
Yeah, well, I will tell you that any given day that you ask me this, my answer will change because there are so many things that Arkansas Children's is doing in community. But I think that what I'm really passionate about is taking the things that we know about and making them, or putting that information out, that learning, those resources out in a way that people can access it, that maybe they didn't think about that before. They're not living their lives every day thinking about health the way that we are. And so how can I make this easy for people to understand some of the most important things? So one example is, you know, we got some data in this last year about how many young people are dying in the state because of drowning deaths. And so as we were looking at these data and talking about what do we think that people don't know, one of the things that bubbled up is it doesn't look and sound like it does on TV. On TV, like you see all this, there's this commotion or maybe 2 minutes of people splashing around. Right. There's like all of this activity when someone is drowning. When a child drowns, it's often silent. It's quick.
Interesting.
And there are people, adults even, that are present. They might be nearby. They might think that they're watching, but they're not really watching. And so, you know, they're drinking, they're on their phone, they're at the barbecue.
Right.
And so I think it's really important for people to know that it doesn't look and sound the way that you think that it does, that it's the number one cause of accidental death for our 1 to 4 year olds in the state, that really having adult supervision means watching the child until they are old enough and skilled enough to be able to be in that water a little bit more independently. Yeah. So we have a new public service announcement, like a PSA that's going out around that. We have life jackets and other resources that we can provide. I think that we're in a position to know that. And so it's important to me to share that.
Yeah.
I would say the same thing about infants, you know, that there's a lot of myth about how a baby should go to sleep. Mm-hmm. That when babies are little, that they're cold all the time and you need to have things in their crib. And actually, we know that's not true.
Right.
That like there are ways to make sure that your baby is comfortable and also safe.
Yeah.
And that's putting the baby on the baby's back alone in a crib, you know, without other things around because of the chance for suffocation.
Yeah.
And I'm in a position to know how many babies that are otherwise healthy die in the state every year because they're not in a safe sleep environment.
Right.
And so I think those types of projects, programs, and communication are really important to us because it's not right for us to know and not tell. You know,
right.
It's important for us to share that with families in a way that they can understand the small things that they can do to make a difference in the health of kids.
Yeah. And I've gotten a chance in my role to be involved in some of those safe sleep initiatives
Thank
and help
you.
Promote those. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I learned a lot just, you know, taking part and working with your team on that. So, really, really amazing, important work. So congratulations
Thank
on all
you.
That.
Thank you. Thanks.
I want to talk about another one of these things that's under your big umbrella, and that is volunteer engagement.
Yes.
We love our volunteers at Arkansas Children's. They've been such a big part of the organization for so long. I've had the opportunity to talk to some volunteers that have been doing it for decades.
Yeah.
Talk a little bit about volunteer engagement and what it means to you and what it means to this organization.
Yeah. Well, I too am a fan.
Yeah.
I love our volunteers. We could not have the experiences that we have at Arkansas Children's if it were not for the things that they are able to do and the ways that they engage with us. I think so at both of our hospitals, but then also our other sites, volunteers do everything from helping people figure out where to go, like wayfinding, especially in this era of new buildings and new spaces.
Right. A lot of things changing all the time.
They help with art carts. They help create experiences in our gift shops. Mm-hmm. They rock babies in our NICU.
Yeah.
Like they are just part of the fabric of Arkansas Children's. I think it's a beautiful testament to at least my experience of Arkansas, which is that this is a hugely giving community, that people want to be connected to each other. And what better way to do that than to be a volunteer for an organization that serves so many of our most vulnerable. We have literally hundreds of volunteers, and we are not done recruiting. Right. So if someone is interested in volunteering with us and finding their right fit, they actually can just fill out a quick application online, and then we have a process that we go through, of course, to make sure it's a good experience for them and that everything is safe.
Sure.
That you start with going to archildrens.org and looking for that volunteer application.
Okay. What is your age range for volunteers?
Great question. So actually, you can start volunteering with us at age 14.
Okay.
For our junior volunteers, those that are 14 through 18, they are not going to be in patient-facing areas, so they would be helping with wayfinding, helping in our gift shops, doing some of that type of activity. And then it is our adult volunteers that are more in those inpatient, patient-facing spaces. I do think, though, especially right now in Arkansas, there are some volunteer requirements for our young people. If they are interested in a medical field, if they are interested in volunteering at the same place for all of the hours that they're getting in over the course of the year, if they're interested or have a connection at all to Arkansas Children's or think that they someday will, which is likely because everyone knows someone who has been affected by Arkansas Children's, then this is a great place for them to consider volunteer service.
You can spot them in their light blue shirts always walking
yes.
around, and they're always so friendly.
Yes.
And again, I've gotten to interact with a bunch of them in my time here, and we do. We just have the best volunteers, and they love what they're doing.
They are fantastic. We also have an auxiliary at each campus, so ACH as well as ACNW, and so people can get connected through the auxiliary if they're interested in really helping with a variety of projects, including some important fundraising. So I know I was involved with the auxiliary at ACH long before I was an employee here, and it was a great way to be really connected with the mission of making children better today and healthier tomorrow. So I would encourage adults who might be interested in that to check out the auxiliary.
Fantastic. That's awesome. Okay. Well, we're recording this in June, early June, 2026. It's summertime. Is there anything that's coming up in your department that you're especially excited about or want to plug?
Well, I can't stop plugging volunteerism. So I think that we're doing a great job with that. And then I would say for those who are interested in connecting with the work of Arkansas Children's, please reach out to us. That Family Resource Center at ACH is a great place to come and get the resources that you need. And summer safety is always something that I want people to be aware of. So I think we've covered that.
Fantastic. Great. Well, Marisha, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an eye-opening conversation. I've learned stuff. I hope everybody out there has learned some about community engagement and how to get involved. And we're just excited that you came and hung out with us today.
Well, thank you. I hope you have a great day.
All right, we will. All right, guys, that is going to wrap it up for this episode of Better Today, Healthier Tomorrow. Until next time, imagine what's next.